The fact that rhythm, in this special sense of combining movement and sound, appears spontaneously in human children, but not in any other primate, forces one to reflect on its phylogenetic origins. It has often been suggested that music did not evolve on its own, but emerged as a byproduct of other capacities with more obvious adaptive significance, such as speech. Did speech, in fact, precede music, as Steven Pinker suggests? Did song precede speech, as Darwin thought? Or did both develop simultaneously, as Mithun proposes? How can this dispute be resolved? Patel asks in his 2006 paper. One approach is to determine whether there are fundamental aspects of music cognition which cannot be explained as byproducts or secondary uses of more clearly adaptive abilities. Musical rhythm, with its regular pulse, he points out, is very unlike the irregular stressed syllables of speech. The perception and synchronization of beat, Patel feels, is an aspect of rhythm that appears to be unique to music and cannot be explained as a byproduct of linguistic rhythm. It seems probable, he concludes, that musical rhythm evolved independently of speech. There is certainly a universal and unconscious propensity to impose a rhythm, even when one hears a series of identical sounds at constant intervals. John Everson, a neuroscientist and an avid drummer, has pointed this out. We tend to hear the sound of a digital clock, for example, as tick-tock, tick-tock, even though it is actually tick, 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 tick. Anyone who has been subjected to the monotonous volleys of noise from the oscillating magnetic fields that bombard one during an MRI has probably had a similar experience. Sometimes the deafening ticks of the machine seem to organize themselves in a waltz-like rhythm of threes, sometimes in groups of four or five. It is as if the brain has to impose a pattern of its own, even if there is no objective pattern present. This can be true not only with patterns in time, but with tonal patterns too. We tend to add a sort of melody to the sound of a train. There is a wonderful example of this, raised to the level of art, in Arthur Honegger's Pacific 231, or to hear melodies in other mechanical noises. One friend of mine feels that the hum of her refrigerator has a Haydnish quality. And for some people, with musical hallucinations, these may first appear as an elaboration of a mechanical noise, as with Dwight Mamlock and Michael Sandu. Leo Rangel, another man with musical hallucinations, commented on how elementary rhythmic sounds, for him, became songs or jingles. And for Solomon R., in Chapter 17, rhythmic body movements gave rise to a sing-song cantillation, their minds giving meaning to what would otherwise be a meaningless sound or movement.